So we're continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And what just happened was Harry had gotten a reply from Sirius saying that he didn't buy Harry's little trick to tell him that everything was okay and he's coming anyways. And Harry felt pretty good in just knowing that Sirius was around anyways.
Scratch cut. I love it.
And they're all waiting for the Beauxbatons Durmstrang people to come.
Are they in the dining hall?
Not anymore.
Do you miss Joan and Josh and our dining hall brunch
tapes? Yeah, that was fun.
I know. I loved that.
Yeah.
And I liked getting omelets every Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss getting omelets.
Oh, you can still make omelets. Mm-mm. They're better. Your omelets are better than those omelets. Mm-mm. You do.
Okay.
There was a very pleasant feeling of anticipation in the air that day. Nobody was very attentive in lessons, being much more interested in the arrival that evening of the people from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang. Even Potions was more bearable than usual, as it was a half hour shorter. When the bell rang early, Harry, Ron, and Hermione hurried up to Gryffindor Tower, deposited their bags and books as they'd been instructed, pulled on their cloaks, and rushed back downstairs into the entrance hall. The heads of houses were ordering students into line. "Weasley, straighten your hat," Professor McGonagall snapped at Ron. "Miss Patil, take that ridiculous thing out of your hair." Parvati scowled and removed a large ornamental butterfly from the end of her plate. "Follow me, please," said Professor McGonagall. "First year's in front, no pushing." They filed down the steps and lined up in front of the castle. It was a clear, cold evening. Dusk was falling, and a pale, transparent-looking moon was already shining over the Forbidden Forest. Harry, standing between Ron and Hermione in the fourth row from the front, saw Dennis Creevy positively shivering with anticipation among the other first years. "Nearly six," said Ron, checking his watch, and then staring down the drive that led to the front gates. "How do you reckon they're coming, the train?" "I doubt it," said Hermione. "How then, broomsticks?" Harry suggested, looking up at the starry sky. "I don't think so, not from that far away."
It was already starry by the time, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's only October.
It's not a real universe.
Okay. Sorry.
A port key, Ron suggested. "Or they could apparate. Maybe you're allowed to do it under 17 from wherever they come from." "You can't apparate inside the Hogwarts grounds. How often do I have to tell you?" said Hermione impatiently. They scanned the darkening grounds excitedly, but nothing was moving. Everything was still and silent and quiet as usual. Harry was starting to feel cold. He wished they'd hurry up. Maybe the foreign students were preparing a dramatic entrance. He remembered what Mr. Weasley had said back at the campsite before the Quidditch World Cup. "Always the same. We can't resist showing off when we get together."
Mm-hmm.
And then Dumbledore called out from the back row where he stood with the teachers. "Aha! Unless I'm very much mistaken, the delegation from Beauxbatons approaches." "Where?" said many students eagerly, all looking in different directions. "There!" yelled a sixth year, pointing over the forest. Something large, much larger than a broomstick, or indeed 100 broomsticks, was hurtling across the deep blue sky toward the castle, growing larger all the time. "It's a dragon!" shrieked one of the first years, losing her head completely. "Don't be stupid, it's a flying house," said Dennis Creevy. Dennis's guess was closer, as the gigantic black shape skimmed over the treetops of the Forbidden Forest, and the lights shining from the castle windows hit it. They saw a gigantic powder-blue horse-drawn carriage, the size of a large house, soaring toward them, pulled through the air by a dozen winged horses, all Palominos, and each the size of an elephant. The front three rows of students drew backward as the carriage hurtled ever lower, coming into land at a tremendous speed, and then with an almighty crash that made Neville jump backwards onto his Slytherin fifth year's foot, the horse's hooves, larger than dinner plates, hit the ground. A second later, the carriage landed too, bouncing upon its vast wheels, while the golden horses tossed their enormous heads and roared large fiery red eyes.
Excuse me.
Harry had just time to see that the door of the carriage bore a coat of arms, two crossed golden wands, each emitting three stars, before it opened. A boy in pale blue robes jumped down from the carriage, bent forward, and fumbled for a moment with something on the carriage floor, and unfolded a set of golden steps. He sprang back respectfully. Then Harry saw a shining, high-heeled black shoe emerging from inside of the carriage. The shoe was the size of a child's sled, followed almost immediately by the largest woman he'd ever seen in his life. The size of the carriage, and of the horses, was immediately explained. A few people gasped. Harry had only ever seen one person as large as this woman in his life, and that was Hagrid. He doubted whether there was an inch difference in their heights. Yet somehow, maybe simply because he was used to Hagrid, this woman, now at the foot of the steps and looking around the waiting, wide-eyed crowd, seemed even more unnaturally large. As she stepped into the light flooding the entrance hall, she was revealed to have a handsome, olive-skinned face, large, black, liquid-looking eyes, and a rather beaky nose.
What's that mean?
Sorry, beaky.
Oh.
Beaky nose. Her hair was drawn back in a shining knob at the base of her neck. She was dressed from head to foot in black satin, and many magnificent opals gleamed at her throat and on her thick fingers. Dumbledore started to clap. The students, following his lead, broke into applause too, many of them standing on tiptoe to better look at this woman. Her face relaxed into a gracious smile, and she walked forward toward Dumbledore, extending a bare hand. Dumbledore, though tall himself, had barely to bend to kiss it. "My dear Madame Maxine," he said, "welcome to Hogwarts."
"Dumbledore," said Madame Maxine in a deep voice.
Remember, she's French.
I know. "I hope to find you well." Wait. Ugh.
You got it.
"I hope to find you well."
Good.
"In excellent form, thank you," said Dumbledore. "My pupils," said Madame Maxine, waving one of her enormous hands carelessly behind her. Harry, whose attention had been focused completely upon Madame Maxine, now noticed that about a dozen boys and girls, all by the look of them in their late teens, had emerged from the carriage and were now standing behind Madame Maxine. They were shivering, which was unsurprising given that the robes seemed to be made of fine silk, and none of them were wearing cloaks. A few of them had wrapped scarves and shawls around their heads. From what Harry could see, as they were standing in Madame Maxine's enormous shadow, they were staring up at Hogwarts with an apprehensive look on their faces.
"Has Karkov arrived yet?"
"No.
Damn it. Has Karkov arrived yet?"
"That was good."
Madame Maxine asked.
"He should be here any moment," said Dumbledore. "Would you like to wait here and greet him, or would you prefer to step inside and warm up a trifle?"
"Warm up, I think," said a mad... I... no.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, said Madame Maxine. "But the horses?" "Our care of magical creatures, teacher, will be delighted to take care of them," said Dumbledore. The moment he has returned from dealing with a slight situation that has arisen with some of his other charges. "Scroots," Ron muttered to Harry.
"My steeds require forceful handling," said Madame Maxine, as though she doubted whether any care of magical creatures teacher at Hogwarts could be up to the job. "They are very strong."
"I assure you that Hagrid will be well up to the job," said Dumbledore, smiling.
"Very well. Very well. No, wait. Very well," said Madame Maxine, bowing slightly. "Will you please inform this Hagrid that the horses drink only single malt whiskey?"
You did great.
I'm blurring into a German.
No, I know, but that was perfect. That was like you were getting into it.
Okay.
And I don't want to reassure you anymore because I just want to rest.
"It will be attended to," said Dumbledore, also bowing. "They drink whiskey?" "Single malt?" "That's dumb."
"Come," said Madame Maxine. "Come," said Madame Maxine imperiously to her students. And the Hogwarts crowd parted to allow her and her students to pass up the stone steps. "How big do you reckon Durmstrang's horses are going to be?"
said Seamus Finnegan, leaning around Lavender and Parvati to address Harry and Ron. Well, if they're any bigger than this lot, even Hagrid won't be able to handle them, said Harry. That is, if he hasn't been attacked by his scroots. Wonder what's up with them. Maybe they've escaped, said Ron hopefully. Oh, don't say that, said Hermione with a shudder. Imagine that lot loose on the grounds. They stood, shivering slightly now, waiting for Durmstrang's party to arrive. Most people were gazing hopefully at the sky. For a few minutes, the silence was broken only by Madame Maxine's huge horses snorting and stamping. But then... Can you hear something? Said Ron suddenly. Harry listened. A loud and oddly eerie noise was drifting toward them from out of the darkness. A muffled rumbling and sucking sound, as though an immense vacuum cleaner was moving along a riverbed. The lake, yelled Lee Jordan, pointing down at it. Look at the lake! From their position at the top of the lawns, overlooking the grounds, they had a clear view of the smooth black surface of the water, except that the surface was suddenly not smooth at all. Some disturbance was taking place deep in the center. Great bubbles were forming on the surface. Waves were now washing over the muddy banks, and then, out in the very middle of the lake, a whirlpool appeared, as if a giant plug had been pulled out of the lake's floor. What seemed to be a long black pole began to rise slowly out of the heart of the whirlpool, and then Harry saw the rigging. It's a mast, he said to Ron and Hermione. Slowly, magnificently, the ship rose out of the water, gleaming in the moonlight. It had a strangely skeletal look about it, as though it were a resurrected wreck, and the dim, misty lights shimmering at its portholes looked like ghostly eyes. Finally, with a great sloshing noise, the ship emerged entirely, bobbing on the turbulent water, and began to glide toward the bank. A few moments later, they heard a splash of an anchor being thrown down on the shallows, and the thud of a plank being lowered onto the bank. People were disembarking. They could see their silhouettes passing the lights of the ship's portholes. All of them, Harry noticed, seemed to be built along the lines of Crabbe and Goyle. But then, as they drew nearer, walking up the lawns into the lights streaming from the entrance hall, he saw that the bulk really was due to the fact that they were wearing cloaks of some kind of shaggy, matted fur. But the man who was leading them up to the castle was wearing furs of a different sort, silver and sleek like his hair. Okay, hold on. I have to get into the,
Chairman?
Yeah. Dumbledore. No. I almost
had... be, like, wait. Russian.
Dumbledore, he called heartily as he walked up to the slope. How are you, my dear fellow? No. Wait.
You're making him Russian, I'm though. That's okay.
No, we shouldn't be. How are you, my dear fellow? How are you? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Blooming, thank you, Professor Karkaroff, Dumbledore replied. Karkaroff had a fruity...
Karkaroff kind of sounds Russian.
I think he's supposed to be German, though. Karkaroff. It does kind of, it could maybe be...
So do whatever you want.
I'm going to do German.
Okay.
When I need a little more, like... I'll get into the hang of it.
Sure.
If they had him speak an entire speech, I'd be golden.
Okay.
When he stepped into the light pouring from the front doors of the castle, they saw that he was tall and thin like Dumbledore, but his white hair was short, and his goatee, finishing in a small curl, did not entirely hide his rather weak chin. When he reached Dumbledore, he shook hands with both of his own. Dear old Hogwarts, he said, looking up at the castle and smiling, his teeth rather yellow. And Harry noticed that his smile did not extend to his eyes, which remained cold and shrewd. How good it is to be here, how good. Victor, come along. Yeah, he should be Russian.
Okay.
Victor, come along into the warmth. Don't you mind, Dumbledore? Victor has a slight head cold. Karkaroff beckoned forward one of his students. As the boy passed, Harry caught a glimpse of a prominent curved nose and thick black eyebrows. He didn't need the punch on the arm Ron gave him, or the hiss in his ear to recognize that profile. Harry, it's Crumb! And that is the end of chapter 15. And tomorrow we'll read chapter 16 called The Goblet of Fire.
Yay! How many chapters are there?
Oh my god, a billion. 37.
Yeah?
Yep. And we're on 16. And there are...
21 more times.
There are 734 pages, and we're on page 248. She writes long books.
Okay, Kate. I
want you to sleep well. And call like an adorable little kitten. I love you very much. Sweet dreams, boo. Good night.